Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Ancient Life Oil.
What is Full Spectrum CBD? Full Spectrum CBD is all the cannabinoids, which in turn gives you major effectiveness. CBD isolate is much less effective than Full Spectrum CBD. No herbicides, no pesticides, pure organic, non-GMO, Full Spectrum CBD. Where do you get the good stuff? At AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Buy CBD tinctures that work. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Alrighty, hello again everyone and welcome to it. It is the Derek Hunter Podcast for the 4th of October, 2021. And yes, my co-pilot right now, already bored. I haven't even said anything yet, is Quinn. This is what happens when you turn 4, is you just get really impatient. You have anything to say?
Yes. It's very different.
What's very different?
The Arlo cameras with the squirrels.
Don't we give up the Arlo camera talk? All right, you got anything else to say that is on-camera related?
Well, I got this pencil.
Yeah, it's an Apple pencil. All right. I am Derek Hunter. I am your host. Welcome to the program. I appreciate you downloading, sharing, telling a friend, all that good stuff. Word of mouth is what keeps this show alive. I also have an announcement to make. With the help of Quinn, we have chosen a winner for the first...
That's pretty nice.
Yeah. The winner of the first signed book contest. This one, you're getting kind of gypped. It's my signed book. Before I announce the winner, I am announcing the book for next week. So you're going to have to go and enter again. The book for what?
It's not pretty nice. It's not a word you ever say.
I have no idea. The book, the next one, is signed by two people. It is called Trump's Enemies, How the Deep State is Undermining the Presidency, written and autographed both by Corey...
I know everything I just have to do.
Yeah. Written and signed by Corey Lewandowski and David Bossie. Yes, I actually went to the book party for this one, so I got these autographs personally.
I think I know. This is very perfect.
Yes. Well, do you recognize this, Quinn?
I know. It's Mommy's book.
No, it's Daddy's book. Mommy didn't write a book. Daddy wrote this book. Well, it sits in Mommy's office, but yeah, I get shoved into a closet and Mommy gets an office.
I know. She gets an office just like you, Daddy.
Okay, who's that in the back of the book?
You.
That's right. So it ain't Mommy's book. It's Daddy's book, right?
Yeah.
Damn right it is. The winner of that book, as chosen by Quinn randomly, is none other than Nancy Campbell. Congratulations to Nancy Campbell. Sorry, everybody else didn't win. What?
I know, I just know everything.
All right. It must be rough knowing everything, isn't it?
I know, we're just in Maryland.
Yep, we are. Nancy Campbell, congratulations. Check your email or whatever it is, however you get contacted via, through Patreon. And I need your address and what, if anything, you want me to sign in it. So congratulations. We'll do more of my books because I've still got like 15 copies of it I need to get rid of. But I got to milk it for all it's worth. So go to patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast and enter to win a signed copy this next weekend of Trump's Enemies, signed by Corey Lewandowski and David Bossie. Good luck. May the force be with you on that one. Don't forget about Ancient Life Oil, ancientlifeoil.com, for the finest CBD oil in the business and all sorts of other supplements. Enter promo code Derek and click apply at checkout, and you get free fast shipping. I can't stop you from talking. That's promo code Derek at checkout at ancientlifeoil.com.
It's so existed.
It's what?
I know, we're just in Maryland right now.
All right, well, I'm going to get rid of Quinn, and we are going to get to the news of the day. Let's get on with it. This is from NOLA.com, New Orleans. Oaksner, it's probably Oaksner, will make unvaccinated spouses of employees pay $200 per month to remain insured. There it is. That's how they do it. It's not get it. You can't order somebody to do it. But much like the tax code, not even much like the tax code, exactly like the tax code, the people can control you by allowing you to keep more of your money or by punishing you by taking more of your money, whatever it is. You can do it. We're not ordering you to do this. You don't have to do this. We'll just, you know, take $100 a pay period. The story, as the deadline nears for Ochsner Health employees to get vaccinated or lose their jobs, the health system is also increasing pressure for employees' families to get a shot. Ochsner, the state's largest health system, will now add a health insurance surcharge of $100 per pay period for employees with unvaccinated domestic partners or spouses who are covered under the system's benefit plans, according to a letter Ochsner sent to employees. The spousal COVID vaccine fee. Imagine that, the spousal COVID vaccine fee will begin in 2022 and could deduct up to $2,400 yearly from an employee's biweekly paycheck, according to the letter. The fee is only for domestic partner or spouses, not other dependents such as children who are covered by the employee's health insurance and are eligible for vaccination. Give it time, give it time, give it time. All it will take is a couple of kids having an adverse reaction to the virus or something, and they'll go, well, see, we got to do something about this. That's what we must. We must now include them. They knew that it would be a PR disaster to go right for the kids right away. Well, it's a hot button issue. So they likely said, well, we can get the spouses. We can get the spouses. The change comes after an evaluation of plan benefits, services, and costs, CEO Warner Thomas said, quote, the reality is the cost of treating COVID-19, particularly for patients requiring intensive inpatient care, is expensive, and we spend more than $9 million on COVID care for those who are covered in our health plans over the last year, said Thomas in an emailed statement. How much you pay on smokers? How much did you pay on the obese? Are you going to now send somebody with a displacement pool to the homes of every single employee and go, all right, well, you got to get in there. We need to have an accurate assessment of your BMI. And if it's too high, we're going to charge you more. Because obesity kills more people every year. Smoking kills more people every year. But for some reason, this push is acceptable to those in power, the people who are sworn by oath to protect our rights from this sort of assault. It's becoming more common for employers to make unvaccinated people on employee-sponsored insurance plans pay more to cover the high potential cost of COVID care. Suddenly everybody's an insurance expert. Yeah. Delta Airlines, for instance, announced it would raise health insurance premiums by $200 per month for unvaccinated employees starting November 1st. In a memo to employees, Delta CEO Ed Bastian said that COVID-19 hospitalizations cost the company an average of $50,000 per case. Okay. Well, again, how much does risky... Do you test for drugs? That would be my question for Delta. Do you test for drugs for any of these companies? Do you test regularly for drugs? Because pretty much any hospital stay is going to cost a pretty penny, right? It just is. You go in there for anything, it's going to cost a lot. So are you going to then go into people's refrigerators and let's see how much alcohol you actually have in there? We're going to have you urinate into this thing every Monday to find out whether or not you used drugs or drank too much alcohol. And you say, well, Derek, what constitutes too much alcohol? It's a sliding scale. It's whatever the company needs it to be. It's whatever the actuary says is too much alcohol. You're going to go down that road? They're going to come over and check the contents of your fridge once a month to make sure that you are not engaging in, you know, an inappropriate meat to vegetables ratio. Where does it end? Why is it just COVID again? That's a question nobody in the media seems to want to ask. Thomas said the surcharge is part of an effort to keep health premiums low for employees. Unvaccinated patients accounted for 90% of COVID hospitalizations in Ochsner's facilities. Okay, so what? The premium for unvaccinated spouses shifts that cost to those who accept that risk, says Charles Stoker, a Tulane University professor who studies the economics of healthcare and vaccinations. Quote, now those people have some incentives to consider the cost of the care that they are asking other people to pay for. If you're asking everybody else to assume the risk for your unvaccinated stay in the ICU, it does make more sense that you should have to kick in more into the insurance pool. End quote. Again, how many people smoke? They cost more. The thing about, and I'll tell you why they cost more. It's heavy smokers, long-time, lifelong smokers. They don't go into the hospital and then either recover in a week or die in a week. You know, say what you will, and this may sound cold and calculating. I just don't give a damn. It's true, so I'm going to say it. But it is a simple fact that if you go into the hospital with COVID, you'll be out probably in a week or two, one way or another. All right? One way or another. Which way? I don't know. Depends on you. But one way or another, you'll probably be done inside of a week or two. It's not like for years leading up to your hospital stay, you'll be in and out and there'll be a whole bunch of appointments with various COVID doctors as you're preparing your COVID stay. No. With the cancer, with cancer from smoking, you will likely have gotten many, many treatments over many, many years. People will live for years. Many people will beat lung cancer. Good. Hopefully they can, someday they can all beat it. Everybody can all beat it. But you will have gone through so many treatments and so many meetings and so many inpatient this and outpatient that. And, oh, we're going to go in and do some surgery. And, oh, we're going to now go in and do this sort of treatment. And, oh, this, that, and the other thing, that you will cost significantly more than anything else. It's end-of-life care. If it is the cause of your death, ultimately, it will, whatever the cause of your death is, aside from like a sudden horrible thing, will end up costing a hell of a lot more because you will be in and out. You'll be in and out, and there will be various treatments at various doctors' offices, not just in the hospital. COVID, long-term, relative to end-of-life care in general, is significantly cheaper. If you're just being honest, if you're just looking at it from a cost analysis perspective, you go in, you might have to be on a ventilator. If you're on a ventilator, it's not good. You can get off a ventilator, but it's never good to be on a ventilator. It certainly increases your odds of death. And then you get off the ventilator one way or the other. It's over. The billing stops. You don't have follow-ups. You don't have to go back to, well, I was in the hospital last month for COVID, so now I've got to go back for another, you know, week just to see how it's going. No, that's not how it works. So if this company, if these companies, if this concept is going to spread, it seems to me, now I'm no lawyer, but it seems to me that there is a really, really good case for an equal protection clause violation here. They're going to say, well, this is new. This is costing people more money. All right, then give me some blood. Let's check your cholesterol level. All right, now we're going to test you every Monday to make sure you're not eating shrimp, because shrimp are high in cholesterol. Tasty as they may be, they are high in cholesterol. If your car is spotted at a Red Lobster, it's over. You're going to have to pay more once you get down this road. It's weird to me that the people who insist, it's always leftists, this is a concept of the left, the leftists who insist that everybody be treated equally always demand different treatment for different things. Have you noticed that? The people who preach about equality and equity and all of this, that, and the other thing, when it comes down to it, whenever they get their way, and every chance they get to get their way, they are actively pushing different treatment for different people. Different treatment for different people. We must have, what about, now, again, if you really wanted to get down into it and go after it from a left-wing perspective, what are we told? We're told that the largest percentage, as far as their percent of the population of unvaccinated people, are black people and people of color, as the left loves to say. And so this would be a disproportionate tax on minorities, an already fully marginalized community, or so we're told, could it not? Where is the outrage over that? It's amazing to me how the left has these absolute principles that they care so desperately about, or at least insist they care so desperately about, and then they immediately and willingly set them on fire the second they become politically inconvenient in any way, shape, or form, and they pretend that it doesn't happen, that it doesn't exist, that what I'm saying is, if the vast majority, from a percentage of the population perspective, is that black and Hispanic Americans are unvaccinated, certainly significantly higher than their rate in the population, then they will disproportionately be impacted by every one of these companies' policies to punish people for being unvaccinated, and now punish spouses for being unvaccinated. Is that equitable? Is that fair? Is that in keeping with the Democrats' promise? No, but what the hell? Democrats aren't actually held to any standards. Why should they be? They'd have to have standards to hold themselves to any standards. I just find it ironic. It'd be interesting to see the blowback for this, whether or not the blowback to this company doing this is going to be so great that other companies won't do it, or there won't be any blowback and there will be sort of an embrace by the liberal media to the point that other companies say, you know what, that's a pretty damn good idea. Because again, pretty much every other end-of-life care situation is significantly more expensive than COVID-19, than treating COVID-19, because COVID-19's time to treat is generally pretty finite. And it's over, one way or another. Whereas prolonged illnesses brought on by obesity, by smoking, sedentary lifestyles, whatever it is, those go on for years and years and years and years. So maybe this is just the first step down a yellow brick road that leads to hell. We shall see, I suppose. I do love the letter that Ochsner Health sent out. You're receiving this email because you currently have a spouse or domestic partner as a dependent on your 2021 Ochsner benefit plan. To ensure you have additional time to plan ahead for your 2022 benefits options, we're sharing one of the latest changes directly with you ahead of the materials that will be sent to you electronically or via OaksWeb. New in 2022 is a nice, but like new. Oh, what are you going to get new in 22? Tail fins? Ochsner is implementing a new spousal COVID vaccination fee as part of its 2022 medical plan premiums. This means if a spouse or domestic partner is covered by one of our medical plans in 2022 and unvaccinated against COVID-19, a $100 per pay period fee will apply. Don't you love that? Similar to our employee vaccination requirements, this spousal COVID vaccination fee aims to protect our entire Ochsner team, which includes employees, their families, and their communities that we serve. See, they're not just, fining you and charging you more, separate but equal, because of their bottom line. They're not really all that. They're doing it for the good of the community, ladies and gentlemen. George Orwell called. He wants to sue these people for ripping off his idea without giving appropriate credit. What a damn joke. Good God. I'm looking at the Wall Street Journal right now. Because, that's how I roll. I drink my tea with my pinky fully out and I read the Wall Street Journal. But, I don't drink tea, but it is, It's telling. You can tell a lot about people are policy, as they say. Joe Biden, the moderate. That's what we're inundated with. And we still get stories about a moderate Joe Biden is trying to find a way to thread the needle with these progressives over there in the House of Representatives. Joe Biden doesn't believe in anything. Joe Biden has no core beliefs. It's pretty simple. It's pretty basic. He has no core, whatever it is, whichever way the wind blows. Joe Biden believes in Joe Biden. He is a weather vane. And whatever will benefit Joe Biden, whatever position will benefit Joe Biden, is the position you can count on Joe Biden taking. That's it, plain and simple. That's the only way you can describe somebody who, over the course of their career, and maybe it's the perils of an exceedingly long career in politics, has taken every side of every issue. Pro-life, pro-choice, now advocating for abortion, demanding more abortion, and taxpayer funding of abortion. That's the hell of a transition. Ardent supporter of the Hyde Amendment to we must pay for abortions. I need it. I need my fix. I don't know if you can go any further on that issue, aside from him leaving the White House to perform abortions. So he doesn't believe in anything. You can tell who he's pandering to, though, by who he appoints to which positions. And who he's pandering to lets you know where the power is in the Democratic Party, because that's really what he's sucking up to. And you want to know how far the Democratic Party has gone to the left? Look no further than this editorial from the editorial board in the Wall Street Journal entitled Comptroller of the Economy. The subject, the subheadline, Biden's nominee to regulate banks really, really hates banks. Now listen to this. Shouldn't surprise anybody, but it's just another piece of the puzzle. President Biden checks off another progressive identity box last week by nominating Soleil Amarova as comptroller of the currency. Some Trump appointees were ridiculed for having supported the elimination of their agencies. Miss Amarova wants to eliminate the banks she's being appointed to regulate. Doesn't she sound lovely already? And of course, she's a law school professor at an Ivy League. She's a communist and an Ivy League. No, she's literally a communist. Give it a second. The Cornell University Law School professor's radical ideas might make even Bernie Sanders blush. She graduated from Moscow State University in 1989 on the Lenin Personal Academic Scholarship. 30 years later, she still believes the Soviet economic model was superior and that U.S. banking should be remade in the Gosbank's image. Quote, until I came to the U.S., I couldn't imagine that things like gender pay gap still existed in today's world. Say what you will about the USSR, there was no gender pay gap there. Markets don't always know best, she tweeted in 2019. Good God. After Twitter users criticized her ignorance, she added a caveat, quote, I never claimed that women and men were treated absolutely equally in every facet of Soviet life, but people's salaries were set by the state in a gender-blind manner, and all women got very generous maternity benefits. Both things are still a pipe dream in our society. Exclamation point. Yeah, you know, you get thrown into a gulag up in Siberia for the rest of your life for wrongthink, but the equity, the paternity leave. I mean, come on, the maternity leave alone is worth the oppression. Good God. It goes on from there, but it only gets worse. I recommend you read the whole thing. She is a communist. As you'd expect, somebody educated in communism by a communist society in a communist society would be. But, hey, what the hell do I know? I'm just an American citizen. I'm the worst of the worst of the worst. Yeah, Joe Biden, do you think Joe Biden is a communist? No, I don't think Joe Biden is a communist. I don't think he's an anythingist except a Bidenist. Period. End of story. That's all he gives a damn about. It's all he'll ever give a damn about is Joe Biden. What's best for Joe Biden? What can Joe Biden do? And so you have to look at it through that lens. He's not sitting there going, well, I need to get a communist in there because I totally believe that banks are evil. He's from Delaware. Pretty much every credit card company in the country is based in Delaware because it's advantageous from a tax perspective for them. Joe Biden was known as like the senator from credit cards. He helped rewrite the bankruptcy laws to better serve credit card companies. Give a damn about that kind of stuff. So don't spare me that. He's not a communist. He's not an anythingist. Those credit card companies funded his campaigns. That's why he did it. That's why he believed it. That's why he rewrote the laws the way that they wanted them rewritten, period. End of story. It's just amazing to watch this stuff happen and unfold and to see the progressive left go along. He's the senator from credit cards. And the progressive left, he's our guy. Well, I'll throw you a communist. And that's all it takes. That's all it takes. Scary, scary stuff. This is who the president of the United States wants to put in charge. If you don't believe in anything, then all you've got to go on is the people and the politics. And the people are policy. And we're in a lot of trouble if this lady gets through. She probably will. Shifting gears here. I just want this. Few things illustrate what the Democratic Party has become, like abortion does. The obsession with abortion, I'll never understand it. If you, you know, you could be pro-life, you could be pro-choice. It doesn't matter. The odds of you having your life ruled by that, whatever, wherever you fall on that, are pretty slim, right? They're probably pretty slim. You as an adult human being, rational thinking, you have an opinion on it, probably. Maybe you don't give it a whole lot of thought in your life. But when you do give it a thought, you're like, I think it's, you know, none of my business, or I think it's the worst thing ever. And then that's it. You go back to going about your business. You don't obsess about it. Well, the left obsesses about it. Everywhere they desperately want abortion. I don't know. I wildly speculate. As a non-birthing person, and they've gone overboard with this crap. But as a non-birthing person, I suspect it has something to do with if you had an abortion, don't send emails. It doesn't matter. It's just me vamping and speculating. But if you've had an abortion, I can't imagine that doesn't bother you on some level. Right? That's not, and maybe it doesn't cause you to lose sleep. It doesn't cause you to really wake up in a cold sweat or anything. But occasionally when the thought occurs to you, you probably go, oh, man. I'm going to have to, I feel bad about that. I'm going to have to, like, whenever you find out, and the baby's due on October 1st. No, it's October 1st. You're just reminded of it. I knew a girl who had an abortion, and she was haunted by it. She didn't regret the decision, but she was haunted by it. And I suspect that's pretty common. And so the people who have abortions seem to think that their misery loves company. That the more people you have involved in this situation, and the more they're really making the arguments they make to themselves. They're just doing it out loud, would be my guess. Again, not a psychologist, but I would suspect that they're saying, no, it's okay. It's perfectly normal. It's just a clump of cells. Like, who are you trying to convince? Who are you trying to convince? You're not making a coherent argument. It seems like you're yelling at yourself. Your younger self, and going, no, it's fine. Stop thinking about it. Let it go. And, of course, misery-loving company. You want more people to do it, so then you can say, well, look, everybody's doing it. It can't be wrong if everybody's doing it. I'm sure a lot of people in Nazi Germany used the same line of argument a long time ago, if I had to guess. But that's what I suspect is behind a lot of the Democrats' absolute love of abortion. An insistence that taxpayers pay for it. Biden went from no taxpayer money to abortion. I'm a Catholic, damn it, too. We must set up an account where Planned Parenthood can just bill us directly for abortions, and we should pay for them all, and then some. So they had a hearing up on Capitol Hill the other day about abortion because they're upset that women in Texas have to make up their minds in 6 weeks. Now we say, well, 6 weeks, that's really only, you could miss your period and by 2 weeks, and you only have 2 weeks to know. You won't know. And you know when you had unprotected sex. There's only one way to make a baby. You know when you had unprotected sex. You could find out 2-3 days after that with a little bitty whiz quiz whether or not you're pregnant. If that's really your argument, that's the best argument you've got. If 6 weeks isn't enough time, because the women could only know for 2 weeks. They might, well, okay, 2 weeks is still a decent amount of time. But if you need more time, you know that thing you did that causes babies? Yeah, if you did it, there's a chance you could be pregnant. Maybe find out. But they don't want that. That would be too much like personal responsibility, and the Democratic Party of today exists to be the Pope of the world and absolve everybody of their responsibilities. So one of the, I just want to give you a flavor of how lunatic these people are when it comes to this. One of the witnesses was, and I'm going to butcher this name because what the hell, but this woman named, she's an abortion provider, I believe, in Texas, Dr. Ghazaleh, Ghazaleh, Moyedi, Moayedi. You figure that out. I couldn't care less. I'd just call her Chud, cannibalistic humanoid underground dweller, because she's wildly unattractive and nasty. She was testifying yesterday, and I just want, she loves abortion. My goodness, she loves abortion. And I want you to hear the way she talks about it. It's like writing a poem or a Hallmark card to abortion, is what she was saying.
SB 8 has not only caused a near total abortion ban in Texas, it has made it extremely dangerous to be pregnant in Texas, where our maternal morbidity and mortality rate is already unconscionably high, especially for Black women and pregnant people of color. Texas deserves better.
Texas deserves better. Texas, this is what democracy looks like. This is what Texas overwhelmingly voted for. Texas deserves better, especially for our Black and brown women of color. Wait a second, doesn't brown cover it? Wouldn't Black women count as women of color? And like, what? I don't understand that garbage. But then again, I'm not a leftist. I bet you they don't understand it either. They just know that they're supposed to say it, mostly because they want everybody else to say it. It's a way to control people. I couldn't give a damn. But she goes on, and this is where it gets really insane. I wanted to have that set up so you could hear Dr. Glechemekizimala and explain how much she abortion is love, man. Abortion is love.
I know firsthand that abortion saves lives. For the thousands of people I've cared for, abortion is a blessing. Abortion is an act of love. Abortion is freedom. We need federal protection now. We need laws that elevate science and evidence and recognize the dignity and autonomy of people accessing care.
Abortion is love. Abortion is life. Peace is war. War is peace. Down is up and up is down. This is the left. This is how they romanticize it. My God. Think about a romantic comedy in the last 20 years. No character spoke of any other character in one of those movies with the sincerity and compassion and love in their heart, as you just heard in that testimony. Not since Billy Crystal tracked down Meg Ryan and when Harry met Sally, and he said, when you want to spend the rest of your life with somebody, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible, has such a feeling of love been conveyed in the world. But I don't know why there had to be better examples than something from the 80s or whenever, when Harry met Sally was, but that was what came to mind. But it just, it's insane. You sit there and you're romanticizing this. Okay. Oh, it's so wonderful. They need this choice. They need this option. You know what? They have all kinds of options and choices and prospects and everything for not getting pregnant before they have sex. There's all kinds of options. Most of them are pretty efficient and effective. But if you do that, okay, you got options afterwards. You have the morning after pill. 6 weeks isn't enough for you. You have the what do you call, you have the home pregnancy test to tell you 3 days later whether or not you're pregnant. You can find out really early. EPT is like early pregnancy test. I think that's what it stands for, to find out whether or not you're pregnant early. If you can't make up your decision that quickly, you make up your mind, and 6 weeks is not enough time. Well, you're engaging in horrible gender stereotypes that women simply cannot make a decision. What's the matter with you as a gender? There was another pro-abortion activist up there, a woman named, again, I'm going to butcher this name, but I don't care. Malia, M-A-L-E-E-H-A, Aziz. She went off about pregnant people. She loves abortion. Man, she's had two. Hopefully it has robbed her of her ability to ever have children, because she just sounds like she'd be a terrible mom. She's pretty dumb. If you can't, like, maybe one time I could understand you had a surprise pregnancy, but two times, there's no ambiguity about how it happened, you dumbass. Maybe you should keep it out of your pants. But that's just me. Anyway, Malia Aziz says she's super happy to have had two abortions. And she goes off about pregnant people, because it's not just women who can have abortions, who need to have abortions, who should have abortions. I suspect she's one of these people where I was talking about, where they just want to project onto the rest of the world what they're haunted by in the hopes of convincing their psyche that they're really not haunted by it. Judge for yourself.
I want to start by saying I do not regret either of my abortions. I do regret my experience at the Crisis Pregnancy Center. The most traumatic part of my experience was one of those centers and how I was treated there, and I hope that they all shut down because they exist to manipulate and prey on vulnerable pregnant people. And I just wanted to acknowledge a lot of people are being left out of this conversation today, because as we know, people get pregnant and not just women. But I hear people over and over and over again say women get pregnant, but that's excluding people that should be a part of this conversation.
Yeah, pregnant people, pregnant. No, women, only women get pregnant. Only women will ever get pregnant. It's called biology, you dumb creature. But I love it. Oh, she went to a crisis pregnancy. The most traumatic part of her two abortions was going to a crisis pregnancy center that tried to say, you know, you don't have to abort it, you can put the baby up for adoption. No, that's horrible. And that's what I mean when I say that she's damaged goods. She's scarred by this, because she clearly is mad at those people. They told her what she didn't want to hear. They told her the opposite of what Democrats preach. They told her that it was cool, it's normal, it's fine, there's nothing, there's no residual impact whatsoever. Have an abortion, have two of them. Go ahead, have more. Go out this weekend and get pregnant so you can have another abortion. It's perfectly normal and legitimate. And obviously something in her brain, when other people said, no, you're taking a life, that stuck with her. It haunts her. She wants more people to do it, so she's not alone in the train car to hell in her mind. It's kind of funny and sad and pathetic simultaneously. Next, we have Ayanna Pressley in the same hearing. Ayanna Pressley, one of the members of the squad from Massachusetts. She looks like Professor X, to be perfectly honest with you. Charles Xavier from the X-Men movies. She really loves abortion. Oh, my goodness. And she loves it for black and brown people. I don't know what you would hear differently coming out of her mouth if she were a white member of the Klan in the 1920s, how it would be different than what she's saying today. She wouldn't even have to change parties. She'd be right at home in the Democratic Party. Listen to her.
2021 has been the most devastating for abortion rights in American history. In the midst of an ongoing global pandemic that robbed us of more than 690,000 lives and disproportionately impacted our most vulnerable and black and brown communities, anti-abortion legislators in 47 states focused on legislating hurt and harm to push this critical health care out of reach. These misguided bans will not actually prevent all abortions. They simply put safe and necessary abortion care out of reach for our most vulnerable, specifically our lowest income sisters, our queer, trans, and non-binary siblings, black, Latinx, AAPI, immigrants, disabled, and indigenous folks.
Now, I wasn't a biology major, but I don't understand how queers would really run serious risk of pregnancy. I don't know. Again, just sitting here. I love you. Like 600,000 people have died from this COVID-19, and we're talking about abortion. A million people die a year from abortion, but hey, what are you going to do? She doesn't give a damn. There is no, once anything that the left argues doesn't stand up to a sneeze, it's a house of cards and it just goes tumbling down. This is going to definitely disproportionately impact our black and brown people. Really, Planned Parenthood was established to eliminate or at least limit the number of black and brown people. Margaret Sanger hated her some black and brown people. Loved the Klan, liberal hero. She set up Planned Parenthoods in black and brown neighborhoods. She didn't want to get rid of white people, and maybe in Appalachia, people she thought were dumb, but people she thought were inferior because of their skin color. That's where she set up her Planned Parenthood. That's why a majority of black pregnancies to this day end up in abortion. Because you're looking at a situation where the Democratic Party has not changed. They've changed their tactics. So, Ayanna Pressley, Professor X, continues. We'll get one more clip here.
And none of this is happenstance. It is precise. Like the roots of the anti-abortion movement, these bans are rooted in patriarchy and white supremacy. They perpetuate cycles of poverty and economic inequality and exacerbate many of our starkest health disparities. Enough.
Yeah. Wait a second. If it's about poverty and you're saying the Asian Pacific Islander community is oppressed, they actually have higher incomes than whitey. Why is that? How are we able to do that? We, as a member of the evil whitey, how are we able to do that? Huh. And again, see the founding of Planned Parenthood explicitly to eliminate as much of the black and brown community as humanly possible. And somehow, the mission continues, I suppose, would be the best way to put it. The easiest way to put it, the most direct, digestible way to put it. The mission continues. And it's still the same people. It's Democrats. It's progressives doing this. And you could say, well, Ayanna Pressley is black, Derek. What do you? She's a progressive, first and foremost. Remember what I always say. Progressives are progressives, first and foremost. Anything else they are, no matter how much they use it, no matter how much they deeply embrace it and give it a deep, slow, wet kiss, they are progressives first. Everything else is for show. And everything else is disposable when it comes to the progressive agenda, period, end of story. The left, so much of what the left does is designed to create a false reality, a lie. Sometimes it's a lie. Sometimes it's a self-lie. Sometimes it's like, all right, right now, Bernie Sanders this morning tweeted out the following, quote, two senators cannot be allowed to defeat what 48 senators and 210 House members want. We must stand with the working families of our country. We must combat climate change. We must delay passing the infrastructure bill until we pass a strong reconciliation bill. Bernie Sanders, 48. Two senators cannot be allowed to stand up and stop what 48 senators want. Now, I realize Bernie Sanders is a socialist, not good at math. But 42. Eight senators wanting something is not 51 senators wanting something. And the body, the United States Senate, is a 100-member body. You can tell a lot about the dictatorial instincts of these leftists by the way they frame things. Bernie Sanders, screw Republicans. They're not even bothering. We're never going to try to convince a Republican of anything. To hell with them. We can ram it through. We can force it through. This is what democracy looks like. We can force it through. They have no mandate. They have nothing close to a mandate. But they're like, we must govern like there is a mandate. We must force our will. And I hate to date these people. I talk about a date rapist. But that's what they're looking at. It doesn't matter. Republicans don't matter. These two senators. Well, if it's such a great bill, shouldn't you be able to get, you know, two Republicans on there? And again, 48. You can't stop what 48 senators want. Well, Republicans under Donald Trump had the House of Representatives for the first 2 years and the Senate for all 4 years. Democrats engaged in more than 300 filibusters in the United States Senate. Bernard Sanders, you participated in all of them. That was a majority of the Senate. It was not a minority. It was not 48 senators, what 48 senators want. It was more like what 54 senators wanted. And you Democrats stopped it more than 300 times with filibusters. You want to whine about two senators in your own party and say that a minority should get what they want? You blocked a majority actively and deliberately. So spare me this self-righteous garbage, you weird Muppet, you. What's sad is there are so many people who will read this and go, yeah, he's right. He's absolutely right. This is how it should be. How dare these two senators stand up and you see it all the time. You see people who know better, or at least should know better, highly paid media people going, this is a damn shame that the whole Morning Joe crew, these two senators are stopping this from going through. Well, you guys scream and yell, and I bet your tramp stamp tattoo reads, this is what democracy looks like. In many cases, is with an arrow pointing down. This is what democracy, because that's what they think of democracy. But democracy is not minority rule. It's not Republicans blocking anything. It's Democrats blocking it. That means that since the Senate is split absolutely evenly, that a majority is opposed to what the Democrats are trying to do. The bipartisanship that everybody on the left says, oh, it is the Mecca towards which we pray every five times a day. This is what we must do. We must get on our knees and say, oh, bipartisanship, please love us, bipartisanship. The bipartisanship, again, in this $3.5 to $5.5 trillion monstrosity is against it. Is against it, not for it. But you would never know it from the coverage. You would never know it from the Bernie Sanderses of the world, from the Morning Joes, from MSNBC and CNN. It's all like, well, we gotta do what they want. Look, the president wants this. So what? The last president wanted things, he didn't get it. The president before him wanted things, didn't get it. The president before that wanted things, didn't get it. President of the United States is not a dictator, no matter how much you love him. No matter how senile he is and how much you think you can cram through and, you know, get your way with taking advantage of his delusions. Reality has a funny way of messing with the left, really screwing them up. I want you, along those lines, Congressman Ro Khanna, since one of the two senators cannot be allowed to do this. One of those two senators is Kyrsten Sinema. She is a bisexual. She should have cover. Under normal circumstances, if Republicans were criticizing her, there would be they're just attacking her because she is bisexual and they're wildly uncomfortable. When in reality, nobody gives a damn. And then it's the Democrats attacking her. So it's suddenly not homophobic. Congressman Ro Khanna, who is one of the progressive members of the House, he's a member of the Progressive Caucus. I will say this about Ro Khanna. Ro Khanna does go on Fox occasionally. He does go and give interviews to conservative outlets. He's not afraid of it, and that deserves respect, because so many people, like Nancy Pelosi, won't go anywhere near, like Bret Baier. Don't go anywhere near Bret Baier. And Bret Baier is the one that Democrats will talk to on occasion. But in general, Democrats stay away and Republicans stay away from CNN and MSNBC. They should in many cases because they're not given a fair shake on there. You can't show me audio or video of a Democrat not getting a fair shake on Fox or somebody screaming them down or lying about them blatantly. They ask questions. They ask follow-ups. Anyway, Ro Khanna was asked, I think it was on CNN this morning, asked about Kyrsten Sinema. And he's very mad that Kyrsten Sinema is getting attention from the president of the United States, almost like jealous about Kyrsten Sinema getting attention from the president of the United States. She's just a freshman senator. He's not met with the president, but this freshman senator, she's getting all kinds of attention in meetings with the president and his staff. This isn't right. What more does she want? It's a very, there's a lot of jealousy in this clip.
You know, Senator Sinema is being treated like a head of state. I've never requested or met with the president in the Oval Office. I meet with his staff. She meets with him like every other day. And then she has a whole presidential delegation, Ricchetti and Susan Rice, all go to her office. And all we want to know is, what does she want? I mean, she's a first-term senator, and she hasn't put out a framework yet.
She's getting all this attention, and I'm not getting any attention. I haven't had any meetings with the... Why would the president bother to meet with you? You're on board, dude. He's got your vote. It's in his hip pocket. He didn't even have to ask for it. Why would he buy the cow when he's already got the milk? Not even free. You probably paid him to take the milk. Why would you do that? Well, I just want to meet with the president, maybe play some cards, maybe just watch some of the Matlock episodes he watches, whatever it is. Why is she getting so much attention? Because she is standing up and saying, I don't like this, and they need to convince her. That's why. You can be jealous about it all the time, but it's really kind of pathetic. And it also shows, like, you don't know how our government works. You have no idea how our government works. So many people in positions of power have no idea how our government works. They don't seem to have read the Constitution, and to the extent that maybe they leafed through it, they sure as hell didn't understand it. Bernie Sanders thinks that 48 senators is somehow, you know, proof positive that things should be done because they want them done, because they've got 48 senators. No, it's not the way it works. By the way, the repeal of Obamacare, Republicans had 59 senators, I believe it was. Wasn't it 59? Or was it? No, maybe it was just 50 or 49, whatever it was. Very close. Certainly enough, when John McCain came out and gave his little thumbs down, that we should retroactively go back and demand that because there were at least 48 senators who voted in the affirmative to repeal and replace Obamacare, that's enough. You just have, you know, it's close, but no cigar, but maybe it should be close. Here's the cigar. If that's the way the government, the Democrats want to play that game, I don't really think they don't want to play that game. They want everybody else to play that game, period. They want their way. They don't give a damn about anything or anybody else, or even intellectual honesty or consistency. There's no money in it for him. Lord knows Bernie knows where the money is. There is a group called the National School Board Association. They have a president called Viola Garcia. She was on CNN, the morning show, with Brianna Keeler. She wants to get, with the help of CNN, CNN is desperate to help. They're very good dogs. They want to get the people who go to school board meetings around the country and yell at school board members for their horrible decisions, you know, like critical race, teaching critical race theory, implementing critical race theory, telling everybody they're racists or victims, making sure that children can't read or write, but can certainly name at least 15 different genders inside of a minute. That's the kind of thing that they're focused on. And parents don't like that very much. COVID was probably the best thing to happen to American education going forward, because parents got a chance to see what their kids were learning or attempted to be taught, and they rebelled against it. And so the school boards dug in and said, we don't care what you want. We're moving forward. We're going this way and the other thing. And you have Terry McAuliffe running for governor in Virginia saying parents shouldn't have a say in their kids' education. The Secretary of Education said that parents should not be the major stakeholder in what kids are taught. It's all about the liberal agenda. Listen to the National School Boards Association president, Viola Garcia, basically complain about parents and saying she basically wants them to be declared domestic terrorists.
We need support. We need reinforcement of the sort that the community can give us. But more importantly, these are real threats, Brianna, that you just saw, that we all just saw, and they're occurring with greater frequency. Our letter to the White House really is indicative of the seriousness of the situation for school board members, but more especially for students in our public schools.
The letter is asking the Biden administration to declare these parents opposing school board actions domestic terrorists so they can be held accountable for the mean words. The videos that they played were parents chastising school board members, not saying, and not one of them, it was like a minute and a half clip, not a one of them was saying, I will find you, I will kill you, I will beat you up, how dare, none of, not said at all. Just, how dare you, you need to stop this, we're going to come after you, we're going to defeat you, we're going to, and that, in liberal land, they, it's amazing, they do all sorts of bad things. They do all sorts of things seemingly designed to provoke a response. And then they get a response and they say, oh, the response is so terrible. These people are so awful. Protect us. Declare them terrorists and put them in jail. They would have made really good Nazis. Really good Nazis. In fact, they kind of are. They kind of are. As we wrap up the show, I want to play a bit of audio. And then I'm looking at the Baltimore Sun. And this is headline caught my eye. Black Pride Week starts Sunday. And then here are 20 key Baltimore area locations marking LGBTQ history. The first part of that is like, black, is it Black Pride? Is it like Black Pride? And they're like, no, it's not. It's Pride, like gay pride, but only apparently for black people. And I think, God. Democrats love segregation. They absolutely love segregation. They're introducing it in everything they possibly can. And it's perfectly normal. It's Black Pride Week. Hey, Hispanic gay people, don't get too proud of yourself next week. This ain't about you. It's about somebody. You're going to get your own week. Hey, white gay people, you don't get any. Well, you get June. You get the whole month of June. But then everybody gets the month of June. If you make it just about your skin color, you're a horrible racist. But it's Black Pride Week. And they don't see the disconnect. They don't. Speaking of disconnects, this audio clip is something to behold of Senator Richard Blumenthal. Dick Blumenthal is a guy who used to claim to be a Vietnam veteran, and it turned out that he was in the military during Vietnam, but he never actually left the continental United States. So he lied about it. He should have been disgraced and humiliated out of office. The voters should have turned him out. They didn't. He should have been so embarrassed that as a decent human being or any human being with a shred of decency would have said, I resign. Instead, no, he didn't. He stayed, he got reelected, and you sit there and you go, well, that's what the people of Connecticut want. Just mental note, don't go to Connecticut. I've been to Connecticut already. The box is checked. I don't need to go back there. They're that stupid. They can have it. He had a hearing the other day with Facebook executives via Zoom, was asking about, very concerned about misinformation, very concerned about the impact of Facebook on children, and Instagram on children, and the best way to handle that is just be a good parent and don't let your kids use this crap. But there's something called Finsta accounts, F-I-N-S-T-A. He's heard about it. Now, Blumenthal's an older guy. He has no idea what Finsta is. Some staffer wrote it down. He probably didn't pay attention in the briefing, but he thought, well, I'll ask about it. A Finsta is an account that somebody sets up, a kid sets up, because they want more privacy. The lady explains it in the video. He thinks that it is a product that Facebook is selling or offering its customers. And hilarity ensues because he has no idea what the hell he's talking about. And then you realize this guy's in charge of a lot, including social media, including a lot of our lives. And he has no idea what in the hell he's talking about.
Will you commit to ending Finsta?
Senator, again, let me explain. We don't actually do Finsta. What Finsta refers to is young people setting up accounts where they want to have more privacy. You refer to it as privacy from their parents. What in my interaction with teens, what I found is that they sometimes like to have an account where they can interact just with a smaller group of friends.
Well, Finsta is one of your products or services. We're not talking here about Google or Apple. It's Facebook, correct?
Finsta is slang for a type of account.
Okay, will you end that type of account?
We I'm not sure I understand exactly what you're asking. What I can say is that based on what we've seen in terms of teens using those kinds of accounts, we've actually given them additional privacy options to address those kinds of issues where they want more privacy so that they can have more privacy.
Well, I don't think that's an answer to my question.
I don't think you have a damn clue what your question is. She told you it's slang. It's not anything they're offering. It's slang, dude. Oh, but are you going to stop offering it? We don't offer it. We don't offer slang. He gets a vote. He gets a vote on how much taxes you pay, everything about your life. He gets a vote on that crap. God help us all. Yes, indeed. That is all the time we have today, though, ladies and gentlemen. Quinn is back to say goodbye. No. It's my turn to say goodbye, and then you can record your own podcast. All right, after, you know what? I'll give you however long. After the music ends, I will, it'll be a special Quinn podcast. So if you want to hear that, there you go. Otherwise, thank you guys for listening. Congratulations to our winner, who I've already emailed, Nancy Campbell. Congratulations to you. And don't forget to go to patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast to enter to win the signed copy of the Corey Lewandowski, David Bossy book. Have as good a Monday as you can. We'll be back here tomorrow. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, with no further ado, it's the Quinny Show.
Well, it's very, very, very well, because we're just married right now. And actually, it's a pretty sort of marriage.
See, it's a lot tougher than it seems, isn't it? Talk about kitties or your Lego movie or something. Tell them about whatever you want to tell them. It's your show. The world is yours.
What about Aro?
How about the cats or the Lego movie or something? It's enough about Arlo. You're going to lose them. We're losing them already. Come on.
Okay, actually, it looks like the kitties look like cat food and they look like very hungry. Sometimes they like to wear collars to make their names. Dad, listen to my voice when it comes in the microphone.
Yeah, I hear it.
Well, it was so nice. Well, actually, it looks like a little bit cool. Daddy, go see my voice.
Yeah.
Did it?
Sing Let It Go or something.
I don't want to sing a song.
All right. Then what do you want to say to the whole world listening? To the whole internet, what do you want to say?
I just don't want to tell me, baby monitors. I know you don't want me to play Aro and no baby monitors.
How about you sing happy birthday to Bailey? It's going to be Bailey's birthday this week.
Okay.
Happy birthday to your sister.
Happy birthday, Bailey. Happy birthday, Bailey. Happy birthday, dear Bailey. Happy birthday, Bailey.
Excellent. All right, now wrap it up. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Tell them to go to patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast and sign up.
I don't know.
Yeah, probably not the best. Yeah, all right. Give me the thing. No. Say goodbye.
No, I'll say a last word.
All right. Okay, do it.
Actually, I'm going to say bye-bye, Maryland, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Bye-bye, Maryland.
All right. Say goodbye, United States, too.
I can't say that word either.
Yes, you can. All right. Say goodbye, President Trump.
Not that word. I need to say bye-bye.
All right. There you go. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.